What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
People love it when we fight. I get that feedback all the time. So we're going to do it today with some rankings disputes. Player debates, courtesy of the folks on Twix, on Twitter. Garrett Wilson versus Puka Nacua. Saquon Barkley versus Travis Etienne. Brock Purdy versus Jordan Love and more. You guys ready? Ready? Dave Richard?
Fighting. I'm ready. Bring it on.
Yeah. Heath, ready? You good?
Oh yeah. Very much.
Heath with the comment of the year before the show, rankings debates in March.
I didn't even look at the rankings. Sometimes I go to rankings debates and I actually look to see what are different. So
there's some
Twitter.
Of these that we might not even disagree on.
Yeah, we're just gonna play it out. We're just gonna play it out. And, no, I don't think anybody has Garrett Wilson ahead of Puka Nacua, but we're gonna make the case. This is what people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear these debates. So without any further ado, in the green corner. Garrett Wilson was, not even top 30 wide receiver per game in either of his first two seasons. Puka Nacua was number 6 per game in full PPR, number 10 per game in non-PPR as a rookie in 2023, set the rookie record for receptions and receiving yards. But Garrett Wilson was the 10th pick of the draft. Puka Nacua was the 177th pick in the NFL draft, different years. See a little pedigree difference there. So let's debate it. Garrett Wilson versus Puka Nacua. Does everybody have Puka higher?
Yes.
Yep.
No.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be a first round knockout.
All right, Dave, put up those dukes. What do you got?
So I actually looked at this before I came on the show today, and I did have Puka higher as of yesterday. I got to thinking a little bit, and I love what the Rams have done this offseason. I love what Puka did, and I know what Garrett Wilson's first 2 years in the league look like. But if Wilson is going to continue to see the lion's share of targets. He'll see more targets per game than Puka will. I think the quarterback upgrade isn't just Aaron Rodgers. It's Tyrod Taylor, too. If Rodgers misses time, Tyrod Taylor might be the second best quarterback, as pathetic as that sounds, that Garrett Wilson will catch passes from. We heard from the Jets already during the owners' meetings that Mike Williams might not be ready to start the season. And even if he is, he'll be brought along slowly, just like Breece Hall did. And I still love this talent. I still think that he's an outstanding wide receiver. And I just think that with Puka, he'll be good. No question about it. Will he be the best Rams wide receiver? Probably. But I think Garrett Wilson has a chance to be top 5. And I don't know if I can say the same thing about Puka. So I will take the upside in a very close call between Puka and Garrett Wilson.
Wasn't Puka already top 5?
Did he finish top 5 last year?
Not per game. 6th in PPR.
Oh, yeah.
Burn. Which is still really
no
good.
Chance to give me top 5.
Okay. Can he do it again with a healthy Cooper Kupp if Kupp stays healthy for the whole year? I mean, listen, it's really close. I'm not going to hate on any.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is, oh my God, I can't believe this guy over that guy with these two players. They're both going to be ranked relatively close, drafted relatively close, and hopefully perform relatively close, which would be, you know, the best case. I mean, look, obviously there's a lot to love about both of these, you know, players. And you could say, you know, in somewhat similar setups, with the one difference being, and Dave sort of alluded to this, is that Garrett Wilson's competition for targets is probably not as tough as Puka's competition for targets. You know, when you look at who the second receiver is, because obviously Cooper Kupp's track record suggests that he's better than anything that the Jets have right now, even when Mike Williams is healthy. I just think that there's a situation of a better offense right now for the Rams and better system for Puka Nacua. And so that's why I give him a slight edge. I also have a little bit more faith in Matthew Stafford than I do in Aaron Rodgers, so that's part of it. But both these guys got offensive line upgrades. The thing that's going to be, I think, interesting is, you know, who has the better run game slash running back taking away touches? And they're both obviously very good based on what we saw last year with Breece Hall and Kyren Williams. I have a feeling the Jets are going to be a little bit more run heavy. And so that also gives, you know, for me, Puka a little bit of an edge.
Heath, did any of the stats matter for Garrett Wilson in the first two seasons?
Yes, they do. Like, we fully expect there's going to be a major quarterback upgrade this year, and Aaron Rodgers will save Garrett Wilson and make him the guy that he was drafted to be and the guy that we keep saying that he is. But Aaron Rodgers is also extremely old and coming off of a major injury and did not even play football last year. And so we have to at least consider what Garrett Wilson has produced in the NFL. And I will say this probably with a lot of the debates. We just showed it on the screen. There was a 5 fantasy point per game difference between these two last year. That's an enormous, I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers makes that much of a difference.
Okay.
I want to butt in here and say that part of the reason why Puka averaged almost 18 PPR points per game was because he had nearly 24 PPR points per game in his first 4 without Cooper Kupp. From weeks 5 through 17, all with Kupp, 15.7 PPR points per game. Still an edge over Garrett Wilson, but it's not 5 points. It's
and a big edge. That's 3.4 points. Like,
it's still a pretty big edge. There's no question about it, but it's not as big. And he did it on fewer targets than what Garrett Wilson had over the course of the year.
Two quick points here. One, the Jets have thrown 26 touchdown passes combined in their last two seasons. So you could see Rodgers doing that just by himself this season. Garrett Wilson has 7 touchdowns in those 2 years. Garrett Wilson caught 3 touchdowns, right? I mean, the Jets have just been horrible. Last thing, sorry. I don't really know exactly what to make of it, but I do like this open metric that ESPN has. Garrett Wilson was 15th as a rookie and 5th last year. Puka Nacua was not even close. You know, so I that doesn't mean I don't think Puka's great, but Puka was actually pretty low in that metric. But Garrett Wilson gets open. Might sound like I'm taking Wilson. I'm not, but I definitely see it. I mean, I definitely see it.
There are 2 significant injury risks in this situation, Aaron Rodgers and Cooper Kupp, and both of those injury risks favor Puka over Wilson.
Well, what about Matthew Stafford as an injury risk?
Well, I mean, but to your point, though, Dave, if they believe in Jimmy Garoppolo, I would say Garoppolo and Tyrod Taylor are not necessarily big drop-offs from each other.
Agreed. That's fair.
The quarterbacks, the receivers there. I think just in terms of Garrett Wilson, you know, if you're looking for it, it's the numbers he put up in his rookie season without Zach Wilson. Like,
17.3
he could be.
Yeah.
17.3 PPR points per game.
Yeah, I mean, they should be very close.
All right,
they should be very close in production. That's the hope.
Good stuff. All right, so somebody asked in the chat, Matt Weber asked, who is number one in that open metric? And it was actually by a mile, by a landslide. Keenan Allen was number one last year. CeeDee Lamb, Khalif Raymond was 3rd. Tyreek Hill, and then Garrett Wilson. But that brings us to our next debate. By the way, we have some news and notes to get to in a bit. We'll do that. But it's Keenan Allen versus Cooper Kupp in the – what color are the Bears? Like orangey,
whatever the cheapest color in the world is.
In that quarter, Keenan Allen, he has been top 13 per game in PPR in 7 straight seasons. And he's going up against Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp has been was the number one wide receiver per game two straight seasons. Last year, though, he dropped down to 24th. He did have a partial game in there. He had a game without Matthew Stafford. He had a game where Stafford left early, but he also had a couple of injuries that he dealt with here, and he got whooped by Puka Nacua. But Heath first. Oh, actually, no. Does anybody have who has Keenan Allen ahead of Cooper Kupp?
Oh. I do.
Who has Keenan Allen ahead of Cooper Kupp? Heath does. That's it?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, Heath, you can start. Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I think they're both. I'm projecting both to be the wide receiver twos on their team. They both have significant injury concerns, but I think I'm a little bit more worried about Kupp's health than I am Keenan Allen's health. Kupp seems a little bit more like a recurring issue that they're concerned about managing. And we actually saw a drop off in Cooper Kupp's level of play last year. When Keenan Allen was healthy, he was absolutely awesome. And the one I'll lean on in every single one of these debates, Keenan Allen was better last year.
Okay. Dave, Jamie, why don't you go ahead? Why do you have Kupp ahead of Allen?
I still think there's the chance, and this is, you know, kind of probably be a little hypocritical after what we just talked about with Puka Nacua, but there's a chance where Kupp could still be the number one receiver for the Rams in terms of production. I'm a little worried with Keenan Allen being older, DJ Moore being more productive than him, and a rookie quarterback coming in, whereas I trust, you know, a veteran quarterback helping his receiving core a little bit more than a rookie. So they're close. I wouldn't be surprised if Allen's better. You know, again, I think that's why we're talking about these players. I did find it funny that Caleb Williams rocked right past Keenan Allen at the Bears workout, or his pro day, excuse me, when the whole Bears contingent was there. Like, he didn't know him. Like, how is that beard not recognizable? And he's wearing Bears gear. But in any event, that's not relevant to this. But, I could see Allen being better. I just have a little bit more faith in Cooper Kupp right now.
Which beard do you like better between Keenan Allen's and Cooper Kupp's?
Yeah, look at that. They are pretty similar. Yeah.
Sexy. Look, I like that Cooper Kupp had almost the same type of target per game as Puka Nacua had last year when they were both healthy. And if you take out the one, this is an Azer stat all the way. Week 11, Cooper Kupp didn't even play 30% of the snaps. Take out that game from all the games he played. He averaged almost 15 PPR points per game, had 8.6 targets per game. That's over 11 games. He also finished the season strong, 16.2 PPR points per game in his last three. Actually, it's 18.6 in his last four on 9 targets per game. I agree with Jamie. I think that there's a chance that Cooper Kupp not necessarily dominates targets in LA, but if he's right, he should be fine. He should be right back to getting a lot of targets in that offense. Defenses are definitely going to have to pay attention to Puka Nacua more in his second season, and that'll make things a little bit lighter on Cooper Kupp. Whereas we're either going to get a major role change for Keenan Allen, a major role change for DJ Moore, or a major role change for both Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And this is a Chicago offense that wants to run the football a little bit. I know that they're going to draft their rookie quarterback. I don't think it means that they're suddenly going to become crazy pass heavy. They'll probably be right around 56, 57%. I'm very nervous about Keenan Allen seeing 9 targets per game. And I'm also real nervous about what he's going to do touchdown wise.
It is kind of funny though, because like there's no question Keenan Allen even recently has been a much better wide receiver than DJ Moore. Like, I know DJ Moore is the future on that team, and Allen is older, but Kupp's a lot older than Puka. I mean, the age difference there is even bigger.
Sure.
Are we quantifying that? And I am also ranking DJ Moore ahead of Keenan Allen, but I don't think the odds of Kupp being the number one over Puka is higher than the odds of Keenan Allen being the number one over DJ Moore.
No. I think you're right on that. It's also, though, it's a system change. It's a quarterback change. It's an environment change. I mean, you know, he's going from playing in arguably one of the best situations, you know, in indoors with Justin Herbert, to going outdoors in that cold with a rookie quarterback, you know. And I just, when guys this age change teams, I'm almost always out. So I don't think it's going to be the same Keenan Allen.
We'll go to break in a minute here, but some Azer stat numbers that Dave mentioned. I actually didn't take away that. So this, here's a sample size, right? And I didn't take away that game, that week 11 game that Kupp left early. I probably should have, but I had been Azer statting so much that I just got a little sick of it. So I was like, okay, let's take a look at 11 games last year that Stafford, Kupp, and Nacua all played together, not including the game Stafford left early with an injury, that Dallas game. We look at the other 11 games. If you should come away with anything here, it might be that Stafford was actually really good. Just the 17-game paces here. Stafford was on pace for 4,545 yards, 34 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Puka was on pace for 100 catches. Kupp for 90 catches. Puka, though, 1,623 yards. Kupp, 1,074 yards. Not even close. Both were on pace for 8 touchdowns. Kupp had a lot more red zone targets and green zone targets. And Puka was on pace for 17 more targets overall. But Kupp was kind of like the near the goal line guy. Kupp had a very low catch rate last year. I'm curious if that goes back up, if we see some better numbers, because, you know, like his yards were just not good enough, and he had some terrible games. All right. Yeah.
His ADP in our draft so far has been just after round 3. He went 55th in our most recent PPR mock. I'm taking him at 55th overall every single time.
Okay, Beyond the Arc is a brand new show featuring daily NBA discussions with hosts John Gonzalez, Bill Ryder, and Ashley Nicole Moss, as well as regular appearances from NBA champion Avery Johnson. So this great hoops talk here. Download and follow Beyond the Arc wherever you find this podcast. We're going to take a break, come back with some more notes and more player debates, Barkley versus ETN, Rashad White versus Derrick Henry, and more after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Busy NFL day yesterday. New rules. We talked about this actually on Monday's show, but the hip drop tackle, which apparently was causing had a very high injury rate. But the players didn't want to see it out, and not all of them, or most of them, it seems, did not. It's been banned. So that has been banned, the hip drop tackle. There is a new kickoff rule. Oh, where did Heath go? We lost Heath. All right, should Heath be the kicker? I was going to give everybody a position. Heath should be the kicker. Should he be on coverage? Should he be blocking, or should he be returning? Let's make
blocking.
It blocking. Okay, he's blocking. All right, I'm going to kick. I have to line up at the 35-yard line, which is where it was last year.
Okay.
Dave, you're on my team. You're going to be in coverage. You will line up at Jamie's 40-yard line. Heath is blocking. He will be between the 30 and 35-yard line. And Jamie will be returning. He will be inside the 20, between the goal line and the 20-yard line. A touchback goes to the 30-yard line. That is wild to me. No fair catches. No surprise onside kicks. You can do an onside kick, but you have to tell everyone we're doing an onside kick, and then you get to line up.
That's the stupid part of this.
Well, nobody does surprise.
I think you can't do an onside kick till the fourth quarter either.
Is that right?
Did I read that right, or am I making that up?
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that either. Yeah.
Liar. And anyway, how do you guys how do you feel?
I'm a liar.
How do you feel about the new kickoff rules?
Love it.
Unless all the league agrees that it's just not worth it to bother with the play and they just do touchbacks every time.
The 30 is a tough place to start, though.
That's tough.
I agree, but it's, what, 5 yards more than the 25?
Every coach that I heard asked about this at both media sessions was all in favor of it.
Good. And then the Steelers did something brilliant, and they signed Cordarrelle Patterson, which
was smart. I mean, listen, I think the special teams coaches are going to come up with some fun ways. It's going to become a fun play. But once teams start to get burned too often, they're just going to kick it out of the end zone, and it's going to be a touchback.
And the NFL is also moving. Oh, Heath's back, by the way. Heath is
I'm here.
Was blocking. Yeah, the NFL is moving the trade deadline back 1 week. So now it will be at the beginning of week 10, just after week 9 ends. And then, you know, some people ask this about fantasy football. I'll ask it about regular football. Why even have a trade deadline?
So that teams aren't trading right before the playoffs?
So what? Let them trade right before the playoffs.
Why?
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, yeah, why not?
I mean, they took a step toward that by moving the trade deadline back a week.
I know there'll never be a day where there's no trade deadline. I don't think there will.
Like, imagine, like,
why not?
What, the week before the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are going to trade for all the players that playoffs. Are going to be free agents at receiver?
Playoffs, you can't trade once the playoffs start. But why not be able to make a trade in week 17 or 18? Just because it's never been done before? Think about it. Okay.
There's probably a sensible answer for that.
I mean, imagine the Giants this year, they're right in the hunt for the for a playoff berth, and the Eagles go and trade for a linebacker that they need or a corner that they need or
Now imagine the Giants did that.
I mean, obviously go both ways. But
they would do that right before week 10.
Do it right before week 17, don't you?
I think it's to avoid tanking. I think that that's certainly one big reason. If you get to week 16 and you know your team's going nowhere, you're absolutely going to tank for draft.
We've literally seen two teams in the same division the last 2 years bench their starting quarterback just for the purposes of contract reasons. Like, they obviously aren't that concerned with tanking.
But they did that at what point in the season?
Derek Carr was the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yep, and Russ was the last 2 weeks. I don't know if that's who you were thinking of.
Yeah, that's who he was thinking of.
You're right, but that's the last 2 weeks of the season. The trade deadline is at week 10, so you've got 8 weeks.
I'm confused. Let's go to our next news item.
We get two Wednesday games next year, too.
Theoretically, no one's tanking at week 10. A team like the Panthers were.
When was it that Jacksonville decided they weren't going to start Gardner Minshew anymore?
That was like week 15, wasn't it?
Always comes back to Gardner Minshew. Replay assist can now look at roughing the passer, late hit out of bounds, and intentional grounding. The in-season version of Hard Knocks is going to follow all four teams of a division instead of just one team, maybe to take away any disadvantage that one team would have.
Which division do you want to see?
Truly the NFC East. I think,
of course,
there's a lot of it. No,
you do.
Yeah,
I don't even watch Hard Knocks, but there's a lot of intrigue there. I mean Sirianni is like a cartoon.
Hopefully, it's a division where there's four competitive teams.
Right. We don't want the NFC South.
Oh, that could be a really tight race, though. All right. There's going to be two Christmas Day games on Wednesday. That's interesting. Can't we just
the caveat to it is that the two teams playing Wednesday will also play Saturday, so they'll have the same distance days as or time between days as if you're playing Sunday, Thursday.
That would be fun for us.
Really prioritize that player safety.
That'll be fun for us. I don't think that will be fun. That will be fun for you guys, for you and JB. I celebrate Christmas. Heath celebrates Christmas. I don't love to work on Christmas, but you know.
Why would you have to work? Just take the day off.
No, I'll do the show in the morning. I would love to be able to kick back and not have to.
You can. I mean, that's your right.
No, it's okay, man. They already have three Thanksgiving games. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Heath?
No comment.
I shouldn't have said it. Okay.
Well, it'll probably be the Chiefs as one of the games.
Probably. Tennessee head coach Brian Callahan said that, Dave, this is exactly what you were saying, right, Brian? That Calvin Ridley's role will be very similar to Jamar Chase's in the new Tennessee offense. Chase is a guy who lined up out wide 75% or more of his snaps every year. He has had much lower A-dot and route depth throughout his career as the...
Get him in motion, line him up a yard off the line of scrimmage so he can't get pressed.
Yeah, Callahan talked about that. He said that he's looking forward to seeing some mismatches, not just for Ridley, but also for Hopkins.
Yeah.
And Zach Taylor also talked about maybe moving Chase a little bit more inside this year with Tyler Boyd being gone.
Can't wait to see Ridley and Hopkins getting open and having passes go 3 feet over their head or 2 feet in front of them into the ground. It's going to be awesome.
I'm a little bit excited about Will Levis.
Me too.
I hope he proves me wrong, because then that would be an offense that we'll be very excited to have pieces of.
The Commanders have not decided on who to pick at number two yet. That's what they're saying, and I believe them. They also signed another offensive lineman, Michael Dieter. Anthony Richardson expected to be ready for the upcoming spring practices.
Which quarterback will Cliff Kingsbury ruin now?
What do you mean?
That's just what I'm thinking.
You think he ruined Kyler Murray?
I don't know if he ruined Kyler, but I bet we see better numbers from Kyler this coming year. I don't think Kyler really ever hit like his ceiling with Kingsbury. He had some good years, but not like amazing.
All right.
Then he got hurt along the way.
Yeah, he got hurt. Matt LaFleur talked about using Josh Jacobs in the passing game. Tis the season for coaches to talk about using their running backs in the passing game, but we have definitely seen that from Josh Jacobs.
We were kind of joking, like the amount of coaches that said they can't wait to get their hands on X player that they signed.
Right.
Can't wait to see them on the field. Looking forward to seeing what they can do. Well, you just paid these people billions and millions of dollars. Like, you have an idea of what they're going to do.
Yeah, probably. The Steelers did sign Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a return specialist. Do you guys think, Heath, do you think Cordarrelle Patterson takes away from Najee and Warren?
I would never doubt Arthur Smith's ability to run a fantasy football option. But I don't really want to talk about that. I want to talk about Matt's comment that J.J. McCarthy's odds to go second are now at plus 350. They were at plus 2,500 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I think everyone should throw that in the garbage. I said almost the exact same thing 11 months ago about Will Levis. At one point, Will Levis was like minus 4,000 to go to the Colts during the draft, and then they took Anthony Richardson. These odds are not indicative of what's going to happen.
No, never are. It's totally based on what's getting out into the media. Are you saying that then you're not going to rank J.J. McCarthy second among
no,
your prospects?
No, J.J. McCarthy is going to be around ninth in a super flex draft until he's drafted higher than
sure.
I think he's going to be.
Sure.
Okay, let's see.
Future New York Giant, J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, it's very
That would be the absolute best thing that could happen. I would love it.
Okay, I don't... I
By the way, Patterson also would sign for the new kick return rule.
What's that? Who?
Cordarrelle.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Like, he's going there primarily for that. Yes, he's going to ruin Najee and everybody by taking work away. Thank you, Arthur. But I think you're going to see a lot of those 1B type of running backs working on that kick return game until the league realizes that they're just going to have touchbacks.
All right, let me finish up here on the news and notes. The Rams are signing Buffalo cornerback Tre'Davious White to a one-year deal that could be worth up to $10 million. He's a guy who's torn his ACL, and last year he tore his Achilles, but was once an elite corner, Tre'Davious White to the Rams. Damian Harris is retiring. Good career for Damian Harris, and congratulations on retirement. And, yeah, good luck to you. J.K. Dobbins has been cleared for football activity. He tore his Achilles in week one, so we'll see where he ends up. And the Steelers signed a deep threat receiver Quez Watkins, formerly of the Eagles. All right, let's get back to the player debates. In this corner, wearing ugly green after beautiful blue for six seasons, Saquon Barkley versus Travis Etienne. Etienne did average slightly more fantasy points than Barkley in 2023. In 2022, it was not close. Barkley was much better, even if you remove the James Robinson games for that for the Jaguars. Okay, does anybody like Etienne better than Barkley?
I do.
Anyone else? Okay, Heath,
nope.
Take it away.
Etienne's younger. I think he's going to catch more passes. I think Saquon's situation, while it's an improvement in terms of the run blocking, could actually be a downgrade in terms of the pass catching, and the touchdowns will probably be about the same. I'd guess he scores around 10. And I think Etienne's situation improved just a little bit. Gabe Davis is one of the best run-blocking wide receivers in the league. Mitch Morse was much better at run-blocking as a center than the guy that they had in that position last year. So both guys saw a slight upgrade to their position. This could change depending on what teams do in the draft. But right now, I also think we see more overall touches for Travis Etienne than Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Dave, your rebuttal. You have Barkley ahead of Travis Etienne.
By a notch. I can't wait for Nick Sirianni to get his hands on Saquon Barkley. I'm looking forward to seeing how Kellen Moore morphs the Philadelphia offense a little bit to include Saquon. And I don't think you sign Saquon Barkley without trying to utilize him for all of his strengths. And one of his absolute best strengths is catching the ball out of the backfield. And so, yes, I'm worried about just how many touchdowns he'll get. But I also think that he will see a decent amount of targets and catches and maybe even flirt with that 50-catch mark in Philadelphia. Yes, I think it's possible. But on top of that, I think he's the best running back that the Eagles have had in the last couple of years. That's not saying much. Working behind that offensive line, his efficiency should go up. And when you hear about Doug Peterson saying that Travis Etienne, they need to manage his workload, they want to use another running back, I don't know who that running back is. For now, there isn't anybody that really scares me. But just the comment on it and the fact that it came so early in the offseason makes me kind of buy it and that they don't want to overwork Travis Etienne. And so if I'm drafting Etienne, I'm kind of banking on him for those big plays. Whereas with Saquon, I think I'm banking on workload, some short yardage goal line work, and an uptick in targets compared to other running backs in Philadelphia previously.
I'm just waiting for Jamie to jump in. I guess he's waiting for me to throw it to him.
I don't know if you want to go back to which guy you want to talk about.
No, go ahead. You have Barkley.
I think for Barkley, you know, Dave said 50 catches. DeAndre Swift was, what, 39? So missing a game. I think Barkley should get 50 catches based on being a better part of the passing game. I don't know if he's a better pass catcher per se. I would say he is, but not that Swift can't do that. So I think 50 catches is definitely possible. You go back to when they had a better offensive coordinator and a running back I think that they trusted maybe a little bit more. Miles Sanders had 11 touchdowns 2 years ago. So Barkley should be able to run for, you know, hopefully close to 10 touchdowns and maybe get, you know, 12 to 15 total touchdowns, depending on how things go, for his potential role in the passing game. We've talked about this a lot, how many times Swift fell down at the one that led to, you know, additional push touches that may or may not still be the same because of the retirement of Jason Kelce. So we'll see if that is still a significant element of their offense. I don't think it's going away by any stretch, but will it be the same based on the center change? So I think Barkley's just in a little bit of a better situation. I love Etienne, and Heath, you know, alluded to this. Their offensive line upgrade should be better in Jacksonville. As Dave said, I don't think there's necessarily between D'Ernest Johnson and Tank Bigsby anybody that should scare you about Etienne coming off the field significantly. I'm a little bit concerned, and you can make the case for the Eagles too. If things go bad quickly in Jacksonville, could there be a coaching change? Because it was bad last year, you know, and they talked a lot this week about the injuries, how much that played a part. Trevor probably shouldn't have played when he had the knee and the ankle injuries and, you know, playing through that. And Peterson sort of addressed that, saying that we needed him to be there, not just in the games, but in practice. And that was just a big part of why they struggled in some game situations, because he was missing practice reps. But Kirk was banged up. Offensive line was a mess. They had the left tackle suspension for Cam Robinson. So there was a lot of things going on there offensively that hopefully will help Etienne in a better spot. But I think if they struggle again, given what the expectations are, could Peterson find his way out the door? Wouldn't surprise me. Again, you say the same thing about Sirianni based on how things were unfolding last year, but I just feel a little bit better about Barkley than I do about Etienne, just in terms of what the high-end potential can be.
Yeah, Peterson, by the way, is not committed to taking over play-calling duties. He gave it to Press Taylor last year. They split it the year before. There could be some changes in that regard. And, man, the offensive line, it's almost like comparing the Giants to the Eagles. That's how bad the Jaguars were last year. And hopefully, I mean, we talked about why they should be better. Mitch Morse, you know, re-signing Ezra Cleveland, who they acquired mid-season. Hopefully, no suspension or injuries at left tackle. But that's it's a big gap. And they went two spots. These two guys went two spots apart in our latest draft. Barkley went with the fourth pick of round two, maybe the fifth pick of round two, and Etienne went two picks later. All right, next up, it's in the pewter corner. Is that their color, right? The Buccaneers?
Yes.
Phew! Rashad White, RB10 per game in full PPR. He averaged 16 PPR points per game. Derrick Henry will be facing Rashad White. Should have mentioned he's coming in the ring now. And Derrick Henry averaged 14.
Rashad.
Derrick Henry averaged 14 PPR points per game. However, Henry averaged 19 or more points per game in four straight seasons before 2023. And again, White averaged only 16 PPR points per game last year. However, White averaged 18 PPR points per game from week 7 on. So he did show he was capable of a lot more than that. All right, so it's Rashad White versus Derrick Henry. I do think that this is going to be a full PPR discussion here, and I think that's going to matter. Is the bell still loud? People are saying it's loud. I already lowered it. All right.
Yes.
How's that?
A little lower.
Lower ding, still?
Ding. Yeah, just a little lower.
Better?
That's just a little lower.
Okay, how about?
Perfect. Perfect. Right. Perfect. Nailed it.
Who's got Rashad White over Derrick Henry?
I do.
I do.
Oh.
Everybody.
Wait, fine. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and make a Derrick Henry case. Ready?
Okay, good. Yeah.
Rashad White is not good. In terms of per carry, this has got to be the worst, one of the worst running backs in football two straight years. Pretty good YPC in the passing game. I will give what? Yeah.
YPC for life.
YPC for life. I'll give him credit. He's been very good in the passing game, but he's got no top end speed, can't break away from anyone. They simply cannot just give him the ball 280 times on the ground. He got 272 carries last year. His longest play was 38 yards. He had three carries longer than 16 yards all season. So if you're looking for a running back who is going to lose his job unexpectedly and is drafted in the first three rounds, Rashad White is the leading contender. That's not going to happen with Derrick Henry. And that is why. Do I believe this, by the way? I don't know, but it's definitely on my mind when I evaluate Rashad White. That's not going to happen with Derrick Henry. That's why you should take Henry ahead of Rashad White. Boom! Okay, who's going? Jamie, jump in there.
I don't necessarily think he's the worst running back in football. I don't think that he doesn't have the ability to break long runs. You talked about this a lot last year in terms of what the matchups were for Rashad White and the defenses that he was facing. I do think the role in the passing game is huge here. You know, what he should be able to continue to accomplish by comparison to Derrick Henry. And so if you're looking at the screen on YouTube, if the total touchdowns are within five, I'll say, the reception total could be within 40, you know, based on what Rashad White's capable of. He already has a 50 catch season on his resume. So in PPR, that's going to be significant. The total yards may actually be equal in what they're able to do. And so age should matter here too. You know, if you're looking at Derrick Henry, I know he's been superhuman, but Father Time we know is undefeated. And so if something happens to Henry and he doesn't, you know, able to sustain himself, and you can say the same thing obviously about Rashad White, but I'll take my chances with the younger guy, the guy more involved in the passing game and still the featured back on Tampa Bay. I don't think Sean Tucker or Chase Edmonds or the guys that they have there are necessarily taking him off the field for significant stretches.
Sure. But obviously if they draft somebody, and especially somebody that has some explosiveness to them, it'll change the equation. So this is all in pencil. As of this moment, but I love how White finished last year, 17.9 PPR points per game. I believe that's the same average that Derrick Henry had in his 13 games when he had at least 14 touches. So I think that that's good. I agree. Rashad White is not explosive, but he also doesn't have a lot of negative runs. He also, he kind of does. I'll take that one back. He does have a lot of negative runs. He was successful inside the five. The work in the passing game, 4.4 targets per game in his last 12, nine of those last 12 games, over 15 PPR points. If he's got that opportunity, I don't think we can ignore it. No. And I don't think the Bucs offense is going to go backward in its second year with Baker Mayfield there. I actually like that they changed offensive coordinators.
I don't know, Dave.
And they went with Liam Cohen. I think White's okay. Now, if you're a big Derrick Henry stan and you don't care about his age, you're going to take Henry ahead of Rashad White. And I totally get that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if his ADP, Henry's ADP, is better or higher.
Oh, it will. 100% it will.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But that just makes White a better bargain. I'm going with White as of now.
Yeah. And Heath, I'm actually quite concerned. They were only 20th in scoring last year, so it's not like they had a great season. But I am quite concerned about Baker Mayfield and the inconsistencies of his career and this offense taking a step back.
I'm much more concerned about that as it will affect Mike Evans and or Chris Godwin than I am the running backs. Baker Mayfield's consistently had a very high check down rate. Rashad White's caught like 90% of his targets over the last two seasons. If it's a PPR discussion, I don't think this is close. Rashad White's going to catch two or three more passes per game, and I think he has more yards per game. And if we're going to talk about risks with Rashad White, we're talking about a 30-year-old running back changing teams. How often has that been a positive?
It doesn't really happen that often. So,
Raheem Mostert, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, I got to get to a break here. I agree, by the way. I take Rashad White in PPR. I enjoyed making the case for Derrick Henry, though. So how about half PPR, guys? Who are you taking, White or Henry?
White. White.
Dave?
White.
Negative three PPR.
Oh, non-PPR, it's Henry.
Neither one, because who would play in such a stupid league?
Adam Azer.
Never played a negative three PPR league. Anybody interested? Let me know. All right, we'll be back after this quick break. We got Higgins versus Pittman and a quarterback debate after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, let's see how this works here. Could barely hear the thing. Come on now. All right, in this corner, as we continue our player debates, it's T. Higgins. Higgins was wide receiver 13 or... I'll stop with that. Wide receiver 13 or 14 per game in 21 and 22. Last year, he wasn't even close in 2023. Pittman has never finished higher than 18th per game in that was in full PPR last year. So Higgins has been better. But who are you guys taking? Not last year, but overall, Higgins has been better. Who are you taking, T. Higgins or Michael Pittman? Is anybody taking Higgins here? No.
Silence.
I think I am legitimately taking T. Higgins here. I don't even have to fake it.
I think as an Azer statter, that would make sense because T. Higgins over in his career, because I was thinking about like T. Higgins injury problems, and then you look at the games played and it's like, oh, he played 16 and 14 and it's not that bad. But he has six games, I think, in the last 3 years where he's played less than half the snaps. And several of those was like one snap or two snaps. And I just worry about a guy who's not happy, has requested a trade, and may have to just play on the franchise tag or may end up in a much worse situation if they go ahead and acknowledge that trade. Is he going to play through a bunch of injuries? Josh Jacobs didn't last year.
All right, so let me – would this conversation change for you if he signs a long-term deal? Because we have seen guys be unhappy about their contracts, request trades, whatever, and then they get a contract or they just deal with it. But if they sign him to a long-term deal and everything is hunky-dory in Cincinnati, would you then take Higgins over Pittman?
No.
Nope. It'd be closer, but probably not still.
So here's just a quick argument for T. Higgins. I'm basically throwing out last year, because even when Joe Burrow got, you know, even when Joe Burrow,
Higgins has never scored as many fantasy points in a season as Michael Pittman did last year.
Just hang on, Here's the quick argument. Even when Joe Burrow rounded into form last year, which, well, let's say it was week five when he faced Arizona and he torched them and he was very good for the next five games, Higgins only played one game in that stretch with his normal snap share. He missed two of the games. He was limited in two of the games. He only played one game in that stretch. He had 100 yards. I'm basically throwing out last year. I am looking at what T. Higgins did in the two previous seasons. He was wide receiver 13 per game, wide receiver 14 per game. I feel comfortable with him doing that again. Pittman might have more upside. I think he definitely has more downside than that. I don't think his upside is that much higher than wide receiver 13 per game. So I'm just going to take T. Higgins because I think he can replicate what he did in 21 and 22.
Which wasn't as good as what Pittman did last year.
Yes, it was. Pittman, because he only scored like three or four touchdowns, he was wide receiver 18 per game. With Gardner Minshew,
he didn't score as many fantasy points as Pittman did.
Oh, full season, but per game? Oh, you mean Pittman scored more per game than Higgins did?
Pittman averaged 15.6 PPR points per game last year. Forget about who his quarterback was. That was his average for the year. That's higher than anything T. Higgins has done in 3 years.
That's interesting because Higgins finished higher. But what did Higgins average in 21 and 22? Got to be pretty close to
15.2 in 2021, so very close. 13.8 in 2022. So if you're telling me that he's going to be right in between those numbers, let's just call it 14.5. Yeah, I think there's a chance.
The 13.8 just doesn't work for me, honestly, because he barely played in three games and they killed.
Yeah, we've got to throw out last year. We've got to throw out the year before.
You have to look at his healthy games with a healthy Joe Burrow.
But what about Michael Pittman's games with Jonathan Taylor versus Zach Moss? How much does that impact things?
I don't really look at – I don't even know what to make of
him. We're not going to either stat him, Jamie. We're not trying to make an argument for him.
No. I think – I don't even know what to make of Pittman because –
What about the games where Shane Steichen had a cold?
He played with a different quarterback.
Who can forget the Shane Steichen cold game?
No, in all seriousness here, you have to evaluate T. Higgins based on when he's been healthy and when Joe Burrow's been healthy and when Ja'Marr Chase has been on the field, because Higgins is better when Chase is off the field. I don't think Higgins has – wide receiver one upside. I think he has high-end wide receiver two upside, but I think he's pretty safe there.
I think we could do an hour-long show based on which games of T. Higgins should we count.
No, I already told you what it is. I summed it up.
And I think that should tell us something.
He's been good. He's been really good. And
again, in a relatively small percentage of his games.
Not really. I mean, are you trying to say he's just injury-prone?
I'm just saying, like, we've got to take the games when Ja'Marr Chase is playing and Joe Burrow is playing and T. Higgins didn't get hurt. And that just isn't a very large sample size.
It's a pretty large sample size because with Pittman, you don't even know what sample size to use. The guy's had six different quarterbacks or something like that in 4 years. And
we're just using last year for Pittman.
Why were we only using last year for Pittman? I mean, Higgins was so much better than Pittman each of the previous two seasons. And Pittman's getting another quarterback. So there's some uncertainty there. I think I actually think there is predictability with Higgins, and I like what we've seen from him. I think he bounces back to what he was in 21 and 22, and I'll take that over Pittman.
There is predictability if all of the things that you are saying, like we're taking a guy that we can only count half of his games from the last 3 years and saying he's predictable.
I just think that last year was a lost season, okay? He got hurt. Burrow played hurt. Burrow left. Burrow got hurt, and then Jake Browning took over. Ja'Marr Chase got – if you look at how we evaluated T. Higgins going into last year, I think we pretty much knew what he was. He's a guy who's solid, you know, plays second fiddle to Ja'Marr Chase, has some big splash plays, usually doesn't win you a week. But he's consistent. You know, I don't see why anything has changed. Last year was a weird, for me, throwaway year for the Bengals. You don't have to agree with that, but that's how I'm looking at it. And Pittman, I think, is hard to evaluate. He really hasn't had that great of a career.
So
last year he did, but he's got a new quarterback this year.
Okay. And I'm guessing you're going to say that Anthony Richardson is going to be more injury prone than Joe Burrow?
No. I mean, yes, I would assume that.
Okay, so just to compare the two, Burrow tore his ACL his rookie season, right?
This is not part of my argument, by the way. So you can go down this road, but
I'm just trying to figure out why you like Higgins' situation better, where he's the second guy comparatively to Pittman being the first guy.
Because I have seen T. Higgins as the second guy with Joe Burrow, and he's a top 15 wide receiver.
Okay.
2 years in a row. And
you've seen basically two full games of Michael Pittman with Anthony Richardson, right?
Yes. One was great. One was terrible. So I make nothing of that.
Okay.
You should the thing I have the problem with is you leaning on the top 15 wide receiver thing when we just talked about how his and Michael Pittman not being a top 15 wide receiver when we just talked about how Michael Pittman was actually better last year than Higgins was the
year.
1
year out of 4. So I've got 2 years in a row. And I feel very good about what Higgins can do.
You're talking about his finish, though. You're not talking about his performance.
No. Let's take 15 points per game. I feel confident that T. Higgins gets there in a 17.
He's done that once in his 4 years, just like Pittman.
Okay, and this is where you can make fun of me for it. He did do that in his second year if you take away the 3 games that he basically had like 80 yards or something combined in those 3 games. They killed his averages.
I wonder if we take away Michael Pittman's 3 worst games every season, what his fantasy points per game would be.
It's games that he barely played. It's not, this is a bad, I didn't take away week one. Week one, T. Higgins had no catches on 8 targets. I don't just take that away willy-nilly.
You are taking that away because you're throwing last year out completely.
So we button this up a little bit. I think what you said is apropos. You feel more comfortable with Higgins because you've seen it before, and that's something I think that people can look at and say, okay, the consistency factor of Higgins doing it, whether it's 14.5 to 15.2, that's kind of a range where you think he'll be. And like you said about Pittman, there's probably more upside because if Richardson is potentially as good as advertised, the ceiling for Michael Pittman could be much higher than what it is for T. Higgins. But also the floor.
I'll just say higher. I wouldn't say, to me, that's maybe that's where I disagree. I don't think the ceiling is much higher. But
okay, could he be a 17 point per game guy if Richardson is as legit as potentially could be?
No,
I don't think so. That seems a little high.
17?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Pittman, he would.
Yeah, I don't think he's a 21 point guy, but I think 17 is realistic.
He'd have been 17 last year if he got a normal touchdown rate.
With Minshew, he averaged 16.5 last year.
But that's also talking about a low touchdown season.
Yeah,
for sure. It's all about volume for Pittman. And I think that's going to continue. And I think that's something that's a headwind for T. Higgins. Higgins can make up for that with touchdowns. I think there's more that can go wrong for Higgins as the second receiver in Cincinnati than there is for Pittman, who had 8 targets per game in those 2 full games with Richardson. And I think that he's got potential to be top 5 in the NFL in targets. So that means a lot of catches. He's decent at yak. His team paid him. So I think he's pretty much locked into being their number 1 wide receiver this year. Richardson already has taken steps to be a better passer. And I think he'll be even better in that regard this season. I'm taking Pittman because he's the number 1 guy in Indy with high volume.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think you're crazy, or I don't think you're wrong necessarily. I'm the optimist on Higgins. I am willing to forgive some of the what looks bad on paper, I guess. Last thing. If there is a Jamar Chase injury,
I was just gonna say same thing. Yep.
Then he has more upside than Pittman.
Agree.
Slam dunk. All right. Ding ding ding. Last one. We got a quarterback debate. It's Jordan Love versus Brock Purdy, and they basically score the exact same amount of fantasy points per game in both 4-point and 6-point per passing touchdown leagues, and they were more or less QB 6-7 per game, not counting Carson Wentz and Joe Flacco. So that would be Jordan Love versus Brock Purdy. Does anybody have Purdy higher?
Just to throw in Flacco, that's also a plus for Pittman. Should the quarterback injury occur for either guy?
Okay, Jordan Love versus Brock Purdy. So does anybody have Purdy?
No.
Nope.
Does anybody want to make the case for Purdy? Okay.
No. Hey, over Love? I mean, look,
he's awesome.
His weapons are fantastic and a little bit more high-end than the Packers. His system is probably similar, but he's just not going to throw as much.
the Purdy. Yeah, he's not going to throw as much, but he's going to probably lead the league in yards per target, yards per attempt, right?
He probably will, but it probably won't be 9.6 like it was last year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody's been ever over 9 2 years in a row. So he has regression coming. And we, like you said, they were basically the same last year. Jordan Love did that with like 17 different wide receivers. I do think Purdy's got more risk if he misses one of his big guys for a significant period of time, and definitely more risk if he loses two of them.
I guess the argument for Purdy would be he has better weapons.
He had better weapons last year, though, and scored the same number of points as Love, almost.
And he's done it for longer than Love. That you
five more games?
No, he did it for a full season. Love basically had a good half a season, right?
He got off to a good start, too. I don't think we should ignore that.
I'm going to say we're looking at their full season statistics, and it was the same last year.
Yeah. All right. We sort of asked, you know, last month, I think, what's the difference between Jordan Love this year and Trevor Lawrence last year? You know, Love, yes. Was he scoring fantasy points
better at the beginning?
What's that?
Better coach?
Maybe, but we probably weren't saying that a year ago. Was he scoring fantasy points at the beginning of the year? Yes, he was. Was he playing well? Not really. He was pretty inaccurate. He was just kind of getting a lot of touchdowns. He started playing great the second half of the season. Became a different quarterback, I'd say. I'm not sure.
Well, it's also, I mean, you had two rookie receivers, a second-year receiver who barely played, a rookie tight end, two rookie tight ends, one that got injured. I mean, you know, Aaron Jones was in and out of the lineup. Like, there was a lot of moving parts for the Packers. And so it's a big credit to Jordan Love to have accomplished what he accomplished. And the way that he looked at the end of the season going into the playoffs, that Dallas game was unbelievable. I mean, he's got the goods, you know. And again, if you're in the NFC North and you saw 20 years of Brett Favre, 20 years of Aaron Rodgers, and now you got another 20 years of Jordan Love, maybe, or 15 years, whatever it is, of those three guys, like, that's insane.
Okay, I'm not going to argue here. I think we're good, and that's it.
Now, if you want the better value for similar production, you just wait a round or two and you get Purdy. Now, we haven't seen that in our drafts, but I think we'll see that in real drafts.
Jordan Love went in round 10,
round 10
to Jamie, and Brock Purdy went in round 8 to Zach Brook. I think the fun thing about all these debates is that no matter what we say, I mean, they're going to be pretty split amongst the fantasy population. I don't know that they're...
I think except for the last one.
Love versus Purdy?
Yeah.
All right, let's do a Twitter poll and get like 100 responses before we have to sign off.
Because I think Zach, if you recall, remember, he said he was scrambling in the draft room, and our draft room wasn't set up, so it was kind of a free-for-all.
Our draft room wasn't set up?
Our draft room is not showing our rankings.
Yes, it was for this one.
No, it was not.
Well, anyway, Zach, the thing about Zach is a little bit of a cyber bully. He's a little bit of a chat room bully in these drafts. So don't let him off the hook.
I'm not letting him off the hook. I said he was scrambling and he picked Purdy. Didn't he say he was looking for somebody else?
I don't know. I was using my phone. I was shopping. I was shopping, Jamie, as you know.
Good host.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, guys? Anything you'd like to discuss? Because I'm just waiting for poll results to come in. That's all.
So Dave, we're killing time until you get enough results for you to feel good about.
What's for lunch today? How do you feel about it? Would you rather have chicken salad or tuna? Tuna salad, let's say.
Depends on where it's from.
Same bagel tuna place.
Are you going to actually order it this time, or are you going to call it in and just pick it up meekly in sunglasses?
I've already ordered it. I already have it in the house.
Tuna.
Heath, what do you think? Chicken salad or tuna salad?
Yeah, I'm probably tuna. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't order salads for lunch and go pick them up very often. I usually just make something at home.
Okay.
I'm gonna have a regular salad.
The broiler, the slow cooker, the smoker, all the above.
And he makes chicken salad.
Goes on his farm. Butchers a cow.
Okay, well, that's it. I've got 9 votes in, and that's enough for me.
Oh, good. I'm glad we wasted all this time.
7 of them were for Jordan Love. So combine that with our 4 votes, that's 11-3. Jordan Love over Brock Purdy.
Hmm.
Have a wonderful. Oh, 48 votes.
Bad math. It's really
11-2.
You said you have
11-2. 11-2. We've got Jordan Love. I got 48 votes. Jordan Love is 73% of them over Purdy. All right, have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.